Well, you're going to need to keep your Bibles open today, and I want you to begin by turning to Mark chapter 10. We're continuing our study of Mark, and today we look at this story of the rich young man. The rich young man, Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to read it beginning in verse 17 and continuing through verse 31. And I'm going to be referring back to the story often, so just if you've got your Bible there, keep it open to that page. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. That many who are first will be last, and the last first." Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you will speak to each of our hearts today the truth that we need to hear from you. Help us to be open and to receive. Amen. Are the children going to children's church? Are the children going to children's church? I think there is, yes. I forgot to let you know that, but if there are children preschool through third grade who would like to be a part of the children's church gathering, they're going to be in the white fenced area and they might be there already. So you already know the drill, but just in case you didn't get the message. So looking at this story here of the rich young ruler, the rich young man. I think many of us look at this story and feel kind of discouraged or overwhelmed. What is Jesus really telling us here? Well, I want to help you with that because I think there's something for us all to see and to be encouraged by. And I want to begin by saying that, you know, if you ever go to the doctor is going to tell you you need a physical. Occasionally, you're supposed to go and get checked out. And as I am now over 40, I'm supposed to go more often. And when you go to the doctor, they have a checklist that they use to see if you're healthy or not. And on that checklist are all sorts of things they want to know about you. Is your heart pumping correctly? What is in your blood or urine samples? What are your reflexes like when they hit your knee with the little mallet? And sometimes the things on that checklist that the doctor goes through are uncomfortable. I mean, what if he asks you to get a colonoscopy or a prostate exam? It's not always something that you look forward to. Well, here in Mark 10, this rich young man goes to Jesus for an exam. And it's not a physical exam, it's a spiritual exam. He's not asking Jesus how long he's going to live. He's asking Jesus if he will have eternal life. My Bible and my notes are blowing away, but that's okay. And instead of hooking this guy up to a treadmill or an EKG, Jesus pulls out a different kind of checklist to evaluate his spiritual condition. He pulls out the checklist of a rabbi. And what's that look like? Well, you see it there in the story that we just read. He starts with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the spiritual checklist that he goes through to evaluate this young man's heart. He says, "Do you murder?" The guy says, "No." "Do you commit adultery?" The guy says, "No." "Do you steal?" "No." "Do you tell lies?" "No." "Do you defraud people?" "No." "Do you honor your father and your mother?" "Well, yes, I have done this. I have kept all of these commands." And this guy's doing really well. He's flying through this spiritual exam. And no problems have turned up yet. And he's probably feeling really good about himself, getting one right answer after another. His heart must be in the right place. All those years of Sunday school have really paid off. But then you come to verse 21. And I got to find it again here in my Bible. But Mark chapter 10, verse 21 is where it starts to get real serious. Because there it says, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me.'" Now everything's just changed, hasn't it? This wasn't on the checklist. Jesus loves this guy. Jesus has loved this guy from the creation of the world. He knows him inside and out. He knows everything that there is to know about him, and he knew it before he ever asked him any questions. He knew him from the foundation of the world, and he knew that what he was about to say was going to be pretty hard. And so Jesus is in this 10-point checklist. He stops after 6, and he's kind of taking them out of order a little bit, and we'll see why in a second. But instead of asking any more questions, he simply says to him in verse 21, "Go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me." You see, Jesus has identified the problem. He doesn't need to go any further. He has diagnosed this man's condition. And you see his reaction in verse 22. It says, "Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." So Jesus is this master physician, and he has diagnosed the problem in this man's heart. When we come to this story in the Gospels, and you come to it in 3 of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us this story, which means it's obviously important. We naturally think it's a story about money because this guy had great riches and he didn't like that Jesus told him to give it all away. Then Jesus tells that story about the camel and the camel squeezing through the eye of a needle, and you realize that's impossible. It can't be done. And Jesus says that's impossible. It can't be done. He says that there's this barrier to the kingdom of God that's been set up, and it looks like this is shaping up to be a sermon about why we shouldn't have wealth and why we should just give up everything. And we kind of all feel a little bit discouraged by that word, I think. Are we all going to just come away disheartened and sorrowful? Because by the world standards, I'd say we're mostly all pretty wealthy, pretty well off. But Jesus' goal here that we need to see is not to send this guy away sorrowful and disheartened. He's trying to diagnose his heart condition. He's diagnosing your heart condition. And it's important to see the problem here is not just about money, that there's something deeper going on. And I want to go back to that checklist that Jesus uses to try to figure out what that might be. What is really going on? Remember, he asked about half of those 10 commandments, but he skipped the first half. And so let's think about what he left off. Well, the big one that he never got around to asking about directly, the foundation to the entire list of commandments is commandment number one. What does that? Do not have any other gods before me. Do not have any other gods before me. When Jesus tells this man to sell all that he has and to give the money to the poor and then follow me, I think we focus first on the money part and then we forget everything else. But the real key here is the second part, that part that when he says, follow me, that's the whole point of the first commandment. Will you follow God above all else? Will Jesus be first in his life or not? Will Jesus be enough for him or not? Is there something else that's going to mean more to him than Jesus? And I think we need to remember how this whole story got started. That young man came to Jesus, fell at his feet, very humble, it seems. And he says, Jesus, you are a good teacher. He says, you are good. And Jesus says to him, no one's good but God alone. You ever wonder why Jesus said that? He said it because he knew from the start where this whole conversation was going. This man respected Jesus. This man liked Jesus. This man thought Jesus was a really cool guy and had a lot of great things to say and could probably help him with this eternal life question. But he didn't really think that Jesus was God. He didn't really think that Jesus was all that he would ever need. When it came right down to it, he put more hope in his riches than he would put in following Jesus. So here's the thing we need to remember. Jesus is always more than enough. Jesus is always more than enough. How would you do if Jesus were to conduct this kind of exam on your heart? What would he find? What would he see? What would he diagnose? And I think for all of us, it'd be kind of uncomfortable. The poking and the prodding, and none of us like to go through that with a regular doctor, and we wouldn't like to go through it with Jesus either. There'd be some things he'd find that we don't want him to see. There's things he'd point out that we wish he didn't notice. But you know what? He sees everything. His gaze takes in everything. There's nothing that gets past his examining eye. And for you, maybe the problem isn't riches and wealth, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's something that you have hung everything on more than Jesus. And you know what? Maybe it's not even something good like that. Maybe it's just unforgiveness or a bitterness or a desire for revenge. All sorts of things can control our hearts and keep us from remembering and seeing that Jesus is always more than enough. So I wonder, can you say that without hesitation or without doubt, that Jesus is always more than enough? Well, I think if we're honest, none of us would really pass this exam. Can we admit that? None of us in our own strength can do what Jesus asked this young man to do. Left to ourselves, we're all going to go away disheartened, sorrowful, frustrated from the presence of Jesus because we can't do it. We can't break free. We cannot go with him with all of our hearts in our own strength. And that's what the disciples are frustrated by too as well. They're asking Jesus, how can this be? And wondering what Jesus is talking about in verse 26 is key. This is essential. If we're going to understand this story, we have to know verse 26. Look at it with me. It says, and they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? Who can really leave it all to follow Jesus? His answer comes in verse 27. Jesus said, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Do you believe that today? That we cannot really understand this story. We can't get this story. It's not going to happen in our hearts without God and his grace opening us up. If you think in your own strength you're going to be able to do exactly what it takes, you're going to miss it completely because it's impossible for us, but it's not impossible for him. He pulls us through. He changes our hearts. He makes us new. And it's not just once, but day by day by day. Jesus is always more than enough. Maybe for you, you look at Jesus right now as a simple carpenter, a Bible teacher, a guy who lived 2,000 years ago and died on a cross. And I just want to tell you, he's a whole lot more than just that. He's always more than enough because he is also your creator. He is your savior. And he is the Lord of the whole universe. He can handle this. Even if the world looks at Jesus and says, what can he do? What can he do? But we need to get to that place where we can see that when we have Jesus, we have more than we will ever need. And that's my prayer for each of us, that we will see that when we have Jesus, we'll have more than we ever need. And of course, the world says that's crazy. The world will have us continually chasing after all the other objectives, the riches, the wealth, the stuff, the pleasures. But Jesus says we don't need that. We need him. Him alone. And it reminds me of a story I once heard. I heard this over 20 years ago at a Founders Week message at Moody. Dr. Joe Stoll, our president there, shared this story. He probably shared it more than once, which is why I remember it. But he told a story about a wealthy husband and wife who had great riches, and they were into art collecting, and they traveled the world to purchase the greatest masterpieces they could find. And they went to auctions, and they went to other places, and they purchased great artworks, and they put them all over the walls of their mansion. And this husband and wife had one son, and they loved this son. And yet, well, he was still young. The mom died. And so it was just the father and his son, and they formed a deep, deep love for each other. And as the son grew older, he enlisted in the military and was sent off to war. And the father waited anxiously for some word of the safety of his son when one day a telegraph arrived, informing them that his son had been killed in battle. Well, this father became somewhat of a recluse. He lived in his mansion all alone, surrounded by all these great works of art. And he grew older, and one day he was sitting in his home, and there was a knock at the door. And he went to the door, and there was a man standing there who was sort of disheveled and kind of rough looking, and he said, "Can I help you, sir?" And the man had something in his hands. It was the size of a painting, but it was all wrapped up in brown paper. And this man who was standing there at the door said, "I knew your son. In fact, we were best friends. We fought together in the war, and there's not a day that's gone by that I haven't thought of him since he died." And he said, "I'm an artist. I like to paint pictures. And so I painted this portrait of your son. And I decided I wanted to give it to you." So the old man took the paper off the painting and he looked into the face of his son. And he realized it was him. He could tell, as a collector of fine art would know, that this artist had captured something of the spirit of his child in this painting, in the eyes and in the look of his face. And this father's heart just poured out in gratitude to this young man. He said, "Thank you so much for painting this." And he took it into the living room and he took his greatest Monet off the wall and he replaced it with the portrait of his son. Well, many years later, the old man died. And having had no children, living children, he left detailed instructions in his will as to what was to be done with all of his great works of art. And an auction house was contracted with, and art dealers from all around the world came to this man's home to purchase these masterpieces that he had collected. And they were so impressed with what lined the walls of this great home. And everyone came into the hall, and the auctioneer struck the gavel and said, "It's time to begin the auction." And they were up in the front, in the center of the room, was a painting on an easel, and he pulled the cloth off, and there was the portrait of this man's son. Well, all the great art collectors who were there looked at this painting and said, "We've never heard of this one before. We've never seen this before. What is this? Why is this being auctioned here?" And the auctioneer said, "This is the picture of the man's son that was painted by a friend of his. And he asked that this be the first picture that be auctioned today. And so he asked for an opening bid, and nobody bid anything. He waited. And finally, there was a gentleman in the back of the room who said, I'll bid $50. $50. He said, I just came to watch, but maybe I'll go home with something. $50. And the auctioneer said, $50 going once, going twice. Sold to the man in the back for $50. And so they took the painting and took it off the easel and were carrying it to the back of the room where this man was sitting. And the auctioneer then announced to the rest of the room, "The auction is closed. Everyone can now go home." Well, the crowd stirred in confusion. They all said, "What about the rest of the paintings? This room is full of masterpieces. Aren't we just getting started?" And the auctioneer said, "Well, no. It was written in the old man's will that whoever got the son gets it all. Whoever got the son gets it all. All the rest of the paintings went to the man in the back of the room." We need to understand that it's in our Father's will that when we receive the Son, we get it all. And you say, "How can that be?" Well, with man, it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Will you open your heart to Him today? Will you let His grace flood in? Will you know that in Jesus, you always have more than enough, both for this life and for the life to come? I know some of us are disappointed and frustrated and discouraged because there's things we wish we had that we don't. There's things we wish we could do that we can't. But I just want to remind us all again today that with Jesus, we always have more than enough. Heavenly Father, help us to see what we need to see today. We know it takes a miracle of your grace in our hearts. Help us to see Jesus for who he is and to know that following him is worth all the riches in the world and so much more. We thank you for your mercy and love. Help us, we pray, in his name. Amen.